baby.
Now everybody
it's
shut up.
Time.
This boy can sing.
You got the pipes.
Sing. Hit him.
Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be booty.
Sound like the Tossle. Waylon and Willie.
Enough. That is enough country music to last a lifetime. Enough. No more.
No more country music. Honestly, let's be serious, though, because country music sucks. I mean, it
so
really
bad.
Sucks. It
so bad.
Sucks, okay?
So
this
bad.
Is, honestly, hey, this is me saying this, not my character. Country music sucks.
Hello and welcome to episode 64 of The Second Shift right here on the DSGMP network and the Trending Topics network. And yes, country music does suck. This is a podcast that talks about professional wrestling. On this week's show, we've got emails, the Supersonic Second Shift news, and we'll be looking back at WWE Survivor Series and who knows what else. But who do I have with me? It's him again. I can't seem to shake him at the moment. Back on a call with me recording another podcast. It's Kai.
Hiya, pal. How are you doing?
I'm all right. It feels like, I don't know, about 2 days since the last time we recorded a show together.
I know, and this is weird because this is the final ever Second Shift podcast.
It is.
And we were only able to grab the two of us. Everyone else has
ever.
Turned us down.
I think it was too much, emotionally too much.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big weight.
Should we explain to people that it's not
I'm
actually
about to,
the last...
Sorry, it's all scripted in my intro, it's fine. As of next week, we officially become the European Upper Cup. We'll be continuing on from episode 65, so no resetting. We won't be changing the intro or the segments. Everything will pretty much remain the same, except for the name. It's as simple as that.
This is just Legend's way of showing that he's now in power.
It's not about that. It's just about giving it a name that suits the show a little more.
Okay.
Any more from you? You'll be getting the first uppercut.
Yeah, you see, he's threatening me already. He's going to be coming down the motorway in a minute. I can't remember which motorway is it that comes from Scotland to England.
I think we'll let that be your homework, shall we?
Yeah, I think that'll be my first thing next week. That'll be my final thoughts, because let's face it, I've never brought a final thought to this show.
You're not very good at that, are you? Well... That's the first time for everything. Anyway, let's just get into the thick of the show. We've got three emails to get through, the first of which comes from Andy Anderson. How loyal is Andy? We appreciate that, Andy. It's always a good thing. Hello, gents. Was it me or was there a lot of people really negative towards Survivor Series? In my opinion, I saw the positives, not the negatives. We saw Alberto miss his new finisher in the corner and go back to the armbar. For me, positive. Tyler Breeze giving us a new finisher for him, bringing back the unprettier. For me, positive. And finally, Sheamus cashing in his title, keeping a growing face, Roman Reigns, on the chase. For me, seems like he's got quite a big pot in Nashville. I don't know if that's what he meant or not. And in my opinion, it's because of the screw job finish and the chase that he is still on. A big pop, that's what it is. What do you gentlemen think? Thank you for reading my email. And that has been my UK nickel, AA. P.S., and it says in brackets, in a Dodie from Finding Nemo voice, Legend, just keep smiling.
Dear God.
Yeah, maybe it's Andy that gets the first uppercut. dear, but let's look at what he's saying now. We're going to go into Survivor Series a bit later in the show, in a bit more depth, aren't we? And for now, though, I want to say, I'm not going to speak for you, but I'm with Andy. Let's focus on the positives here. Let's not get hung up on the negatives. There's quite a lot to be taken from the show if you focus on the positives.
Yeah, I mean, I know we're going to go into detail match by match later, so I'm not going to go into too much detail here, but I watched the show. I watched the pre-show and the first hour live, and then I went to bed because it was like 2 a.m. here, and I had to
yep.
be up at 7. So I was really knackered that next morning when I was on the radio. I was so, so tired. But
yeah.
putting that aside, I really enjoyed the event. I watched it, and
yep.
I turned around to you the next morning. I sent you a message saying, no spoilers, because, you know, that's not what I do anymore. And I said, I really enjoyed that show. I don't think there was one bad match on that show. You know, there were some not great matches, but there were some really great matches on that show.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thoroughly enjoyed it. And then I went onto Twitter And everyone was just shitting on it. It was horrendous. I mean, I saw a message from... I went on GroupMe and I saw a message from Ant, and he put a really positive message up about Survivor Series. I later found out that he was being highly sarcastic.
Yes.
But I... Because I'd enjoyed the show, but maybe I just have to... I've tried to put my positive goggles on the past few weeks and months. Maybe I'm just being too positive. Is that a possibility?
Is that a bad thing ever? Can it be a bad thing?
I don't know, because...
If it means that you're enjoying the product because you're being positive, then it can't be a bad thing.
Yeah, but then I'm wondering... Fucking hell, could we get... But it's one of those really, really weird things where I'm, for once, I'm not complaining. And, you know, and the last few weeks, it's taken some... I've had to pass over the dick of the week thing to a few people over the past few weeks. Pass the dick around.
That's a game Kiwi likes to play.
Yeah, yeah, he was... him and Cock were well and truly wanting the dick.
They were all about the dick last week.
Yeah. But yeah, I enjoyed the pay-per-view. Let's leave it at that, yeah.
Right, so there's a couple of finer details that Andy's picked up on here that we can talk about, because that doesn't really change what we're going to be saying later on. So Alberto not doing his top rope jump across the chest, but switching back to the armbar.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. I think that the armbar's a good thing, but it's also good to have... It's good to have multiple finishers, because then you're not... Look at the John Cena... look at John Cena, for example, when we all complain that he goes into the same move set, and he's tried to switch that up this year.
Yeah.
You know, he's tried to switch it up a bit, but we've complained for years that using the same finishing move over and over again is just boring, and we know how the match is going to finish. Now, there are multiple ways that Alberto Del Rio could finish a match.
The thing is, right, and that move off the top rope, to me, it's a bit clumsy. It doesn't feel right. He's just a bit too big for that move.
Yeah.
It works a lot better when a smaller guy is doing it.
I would agree. I mean, if I was to give Alberto another finisher alongside the armbar, it would be something like a fast-paced thing, like not a super kick, because that is so overused, but a move like that that can be brought out of nowhere, like an RKO, like a super kick. Like Daniel Bryan had the exact same thing, where he was using the LaBelle lock for so long, or the Yes lock.
Yeah.
And then at SummerSlam against John Cena, he brought out the new finisher to finish him off with, and that's become his finisher, the knee thing that's... You know which one I mean, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been so long since we've seen it, mind you. But yeah, exactly. That's the sort of thing that I kind of go, you need an arsenal of finishers.
I mean, the thing about a guy like Del Rio is he's got a good bit of height about him, so he should be using his size a bit more to his advantage. And that move, as I say, works much better for shorter guys. So why not take the torture rack away from a certain Bell and give it back to him? You know, give it to him, so because he's got the height for using, doing the leverage and the pull on it.
I hate the torture rack. I hate it, and if it's done right,
it can be a good move. I just think it's...
The only thing that the torture rack would work on is someone who's really big. Alberto Del Rio is
maybe you're right,
big. I don't think he's big enough for the torture rack, to be honest.
No, that's a fair point. I'll take that. Right, okay, let's jump to Tyler Breeze switching up to the Unprettier, which, if you could pick a move that was fitting to Tyler's gimmick, the Unprettier certainly is it.
Yeah, once again, another great move to add to his arsenal. Yeah. And it's a great, you know, that can only improve his game. And I think, I mean, I'd like to know your opinion on Tyler Breeze, to be honest, Legend, because you were very down on him pre-Summer.
Now, let's look at the potted history of me and Tyler Breeze.
Because you've not had a brilliant history together, have you? It's been very...
No, well, it started off on the up, then it went down and stayed down. And remained down for quite a long time. And I was just like, do something different for me. Show me why you're still there. Show me why you still have a place in NXT. And this was while I was still down there. But then right towards the end of his run at NXT, he actually did start to show something a bit more interesting. But he's actually been doing better work on the main roster there than he did even in those last kind of couple of weeks down in NXT. So I'm much happier with Tyler Breeze. I still think he needs a bit more mic work and getting over his persona that way. But he's his in ring is certainly in a very good place, and we're working with Dolph Ziggler's only going to show that off in the very best light possible.
Yeah, you and Tyler Breeze are like the Ross and Rachel of the wrestling world. Look at me using my 90s references.
Sorry, that one's allowed.
But yeah, when it comes to Tyler Breeze, I think that also Breaking Ground is going to help as well. The little highlights that they'll see of him on there before he gets called up to the main roster.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're a few months behind. That show is going to really, really improve you. You're either going to love or hate people after seeing him on there.
I have to say, you know, it's funny. He's, you know, when you hear him talking naturally,
yeah,
he's got a very posh voice.
Yeah, he
it's
does.
It's interesting that they went the model route and didn't try and play a kind of mini Hunter Hurst Helmsley gimmick on him.
Yeah, that is interesting, but I think this model route that he's doing right now with the, you know, he's the first person to use the selfie stick, really take that on, you know, and use it, a live video.
The live streaming's brilliant. That's a
and I think that's something he came up with, isn't it? If I remember rightly from Breaking Ground, I might be completely wrong in making that up.
Whether it is or not, but it works really well. It just
definitely really
adds that extra level to him, and helps, you know, push the social media aspect, which they're always clamouring for, so it's a good thing. The last thing Andy talks about is Sheamus cashing his title, keeping a growing face in Roman Reigns on the chase. This is exactly what I thought was going to happen. I've talked about it for 2-3 weeks now, and it's played out exactly that way.
Yeah, I was going back and forth on whether I thought that the cash-in was going to happen. Yeah. It was either going to be the cash-in or someone was going to turn heel.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like they've gone, and there's been a lot of memes about this week, where they've kind of gone, yeah, you didn't want Roman, let's give you Sheamus. And see how you react to that. And yeah, people are not happy that Sheamus is the WWE World Heavyweight Champion right now. They're not happy at all.
I don't give a flying fuck what they say. I actually quite like it. It's, whether it was predictable or not, I don't care. That's not the point here. The point here is they've got a really strong, utilisable, viable heel holding onto that title now. So that gives that mountain for face, in this case Roman Reigns, to climb, building up between now and WrestleMania.
And let's look at it this way, right? There are two ways that this could go.
Yeah.
And if anyone thinks that Sheamus is going into WrestleMania in the WWE World title picture, then you need to get your head tested. It's not going to happen. And the only way that it could happen, and I say could very, very, you know, thinly here, is if he really gets over as champion and becomes this mega heel that everyone loves to hate.
And to be honest,
if that happens,
yeah,
then what's wrong with that?
Because
exactly. Sheamus is not going to be holding the title long if he doesn't. And the only reason he'd hold it is if he does well in the role. And we can't complain if he does well.
No, exactly. And the fact, you know, that he's aligned with the authority now, and they're bigging him up, he's bigging them up, that's already putting the tools in his box for loading him up to be that, you know, deep, dark heel that nobody wants on the programme. So that's a good thing. So let's give it time. There's plenty of time. Even TLC, I don't think it's enough time to really establish how far this could go. It's what happens in the early part of the new year that will be really telling, I think.
It's also really interesting to see Wade Barrett by his side. I mean, we might
well see. That's been kind of they've been touching on and off that for about a month and a half, maybe 2 months.
Yeah, but it's good to see that they haven't just dropped that when Sheamus moved to the main event picture. And you know, this could be very good for Barrett.
It's not just Barrett; it's Rusev as well, because the three of them were tagging together. Let's be honest. So they've been cementing something with these three, and they've just taken that and applied it to where Seth would have been. So, you know, they've taken at least one plan that they already had established that got broken, they've put it back together. So they're mending the wounds as they go. They're having a lot of struggles because of folk going out injured. Rusev is finally back, but with Seth being out now, Cesaro's out. There's a whole long list of folk over the last 12 months who've been pretty severely injured. They've had a lot of struggles with that. And I'm going to watch what I see, because I want to keep some of this back for a bit later on. when you have that many injuries, you're going to have to work on the fly more than maybe you already were. And it's going to mean there's going to be changes. You have to make sacrifices for the greater good. Whether they work short term doesn't matter, as long as they work long term.
Yeah. Part of me, and I'll just say this quickly to finish this email off, part of me is wondering now, I've just thought of this in my head now, but if they had this plan of these three tagging up all along, and if Sheamus was always going to get the title at Survivor Series, and this was the way it was going to go down, even if Seth was the champion, say, still and not injured, if Sheamus was to take it, Sheamus, Barrett and Rusev, then you might have gotten a Shield reunion coming if Seth hadn't have gone down with Roman, Dean and Seth. You know, that's something that's in mind, but that's me thinking that WWE were actually planning this and it hasn't just been a scramble at the last minute.
Okay, let's transition from that. And thanks, Andy, for sending that and really appreciate it. As I said before, I really appreciate your loyalty sending all these emails in pretty much every week. I know you've had a bit of a busy time of it, so it's much appreciated. Let's go and see what Kiwi Tuts has to say.
Hello, Second Shift Podcast. This is the Goodwill Ambassador Kiwi Tuts, aka my real name Kieran. I hope you are well, guys, and I am sorry I can't be with you this evening, I'm afraid. Duty calls. But I just wanted to chime in on a subject. Now, I've spoken to the living legend, Ian, earlier on today, and my negativity towards the product. The fact that I've cancelled my Sky Sports subscription, so I can't watch Raw or SmackDown anymore, but I'll quite happily watch it on the internet via other means. But I'm very happy with the WWE Network, so I'm still paying for the product, but the high prices that Sky Sports charge, I'm not wishing to pay money for the product that we currently have, at least at the moment. And I can't justify paying £15 a month just to watch Raw, so that's 3, 6, 9, 12 hours of content a week, because I don't want SmackDown anyway. But the one thing I really wanted to point out this week, and I know it's the Survivor Series pre-show match, but why on earth was Neville pinned by The Miz after a skull-crushing finale, and then the rest of the team managed to be the sole survivors? Why is Neville being dogged out? I don't get it. Ever since he's gone over to the main roster, he really hasn't had too much of a role to play. And what do you guys think's next for Neville? Is there any possibility that he could have a mid-card title reign anytime soon? I wish that he probably would do at some point. But what did you think, guys? This is the Goodwill Ambassador, Kiwi Tuts, out.
So thank you for sending that in, Kiwi. Now, Kai, there's two real parts to this call. We'll touch on the first bit first, then we'll go to the Neville conversation. So he's really down in the product. Doesn't see why he should pay £15 a month for Sky Sports just to watch Raw. I'm assuming, therefore, that he doesn't watch SmackDown on Sky Sports, question mark. I'm reading between the lines. Personally, I have to say that when you look at the price of the network, does the cost of Sky Sports bear any kind of relevant resemblance? Question mark. I would say no. I've always said, even before we got the network here, that I would rather they offered a second price tier for the network that included Raw and SmackDown for an extra few quid. I'd be more than happy to consider that. But is the product so bad at the moment that it deserves to be the reason to cut his subscription? Or is it that actually maybe he needs to look at what Andy was talking about and focus on the positives a bit more? Now, we know that Kiwi is very good at focusing on the positives. He can do that when he wants to. But I know it can be hard when the product continually gives you things that may not go the way you'd like them to go. And with all the injuries we've already referenced and discussed, perhaps they've made decisions that have gone against the flow for what he'd be liking to see. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult to say that it's worth getting Sky Sports just for wrestling, even when if you don't like any other sports, like if you're not a big football fan, which I know Kiwi isn't, and if you're not, into any other sport apart from wrestling, it's very hard to justify the Sky Sports subscription, even when the product is at a good standard. So obviously, when people aren't very happy with the product, as they aren't at the moment, it seems to be a time where people go, yeah, well, I don't really want to pay Sky Sports. I do think that I like your idea that they should really give it to us on the network for an extra, you know, even if it was an extra tenner a month, so you paid 20 quid a month, I think I might even do that. However,
shh, don't give them ideas. 14 yeah, quid. 14 quid a month.
14 quid, yeah. this is the guy that was saying at the beginning when we were talking about the network subscription rates, I think it should be 6 quid. But, you know.
That's it. Start low, then you bargain up.
Yeah, exactly. But when it... I don't know, you know, people don't want to pay Rupert Murdoch anyway.
For the record, I still think it should be 6 quid. Christ, even India pay real less than us.
Yeah, yeah, but that, like I said, that's, it seems to be a Sky Sports problem.
India pay $9.99 price, the equivalent of $9. I don't understand why we don't pay the equivalent of that.
Yeah, well, it seems to be because a couple of quid has to go to Sky. I've not got much to back that up, but I remember something being said about it
anyway,
at the time.
That's another conversation for another day. But yeah,
what were we talking about?
No, so seriously, I also want to say this to Kiwi. At the moment, we need, and I said this to him briefly on Twitter earlier on, we need to take a bit of time and patience because they are having to address a lot of issues going on with injuries, etc. A little bit of patience, a little bit of understanding for them having to adapt and change things on the fly weekly, because it's almost weekly that someone's going out injured at the moment.
Yeah, and also, let's just think about it. It's that time of the year where you can't really get much done because you've got plans in place for starting the new year and going into WrestleMania, and any plans that you come up with now have only got to be able to last about a month and a half.
Absolutely. This is a transition phase.
Yeah, exactly. This is a transition phase, and it always has been, and we go through this every year, people fall off, and people moan about the product, and then they come back for, you know, the WrestleMania season, and I don't blame anyone. Anyone can have their opinions on the product. I'm trying to be positive about it, but I have no problem whatsoever with people like Wayne and Ant going on Twitter and GroupMe and stuff and saying that they're down on the product. That's, you know, that is your opinion and you're entitled to it. And I know, like Wayne said to you today, that, you know, he would have been on the show tonight, but he thinks that he'd have been too negative. Yeah. And that's a fair enough point. It's not their problem.
But this is something I wanted to actually bring up, actually, which is you can be as negative on the product as you like, just don't try and bring others down with you. And I think Wayne's choice of not coming on the show tonight was probably a little bit of trying not to bring other folk down with them.
Yeah, yeah, I completely agree.
Which is commendable.
Yeah. And like I say, I'm not going from whatever I say this, you know, on this podcast or any other podcast.
Yeah.
I'm never bitching about anyone for being down on the product. You know, that's their deal. I'm just not down on it at the moment for some reason.
Yeah,
I'm actually quite enjoying it.
I still see there's so much great stuff going on, and let's think about the bigger picture of where we are. We've still got lots of new talent progressing and flourishing down in NXT that at some point will be transitioning up to the main roster. We've now got Breaking Ground, which is only 4 episodes deep, and everyone's saying how much they love it. Who makes that? Oh, wait a minute. WWE. Yeah. So their product is so bad, but you love that. Right, okay.
I'll let you finish.
Yeah, and yeah, okay. So the main roster has had a few knocks, but look what they're trying to do to make up for it. They're trying to build another solid heel. They've given you Cesaro, until he went out injured, was building a great face stance for himself. Roman Reigns, high position as a face. Dean Ambrose, definite clear face position. This opens still more doors for the likes of Ziggler to start climbing back up. Even Jack Swagger this week on Raw got himself a nice face promo and actually did one of the best promos I've seen from him in quite a long time.
Yeah, and like I was about to say then, as well, when it comes to myself, I don't think, you know, it's going back to the old sort of sayings and everything, but I was brought into wrestling in 2004 and really became a fan in the 2007 to 2010-09 phase. And that's when I was really growing up as part of wrestling. And they were some absolute shite during those couple of years. So anything now, to me...
I just complimented Swagger.
Exactly. When does that happen? You've complimented Tyler Breeze and Jack Swagger tonight.
And we're only 26 and a half, 27 minutes in, roughly, 26.
Yeah.
Give or take. But what does that mean for the rest of the show?
We're going to be praising the Bellas soon.
So let's move on from that and let's chat about the second part of Kiwi's email for a call there. Survivor Series match, 5-on-5. Neville and his team win the match, but Neville is the only one to take a pinfall. The other four are the sole survivors. Can you say, from your standpoint, Kai, that that was a knock on Neville, full stop?
Part of me goes, was this the pre-show match or the main roster
one? The main one.
Was this the main one?
Yeah.
Part of me goes, yeah, I sort of, I'm trying to get the right words. Part of me goes, yeah, it could be a knock. But then part of me goes, they didn't want it to be a full survivors one. Mm. And they wanted someone to get eliminated. Maybe it was less Neville getting the win and more, getting the loss, sorry, yeah. And more that the Miz was taking him out, because let's have a look to Raw.
Mm-hmm, I was exactly going to come there myself, yeah.
Not only did Mark Henry job to him, and you know, which I think is fantastic and commendable for someone like him to actually agree to. I'd like to think that he, I've got nothing to back it up, but I'd like to think that Mark Henry offered to do it. but like I say, got nothing to back that up.
Well, certainly Mark Henry was basically given Neville the nod, wasn't he? That was the
even
whole point.
Even if it's kayfabe, you know, he was giving him the nod, which is great. And then you look, and in that match as well, that was the match where the Miz was stood backstage watching it on the television. So that's a build up to something then, probably.
Yeah,
which is probably why it was Miz that took out Neville at Survivor Series.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
I go back and forth on this every week, but I kind of go, because some weeks I go, everything happens for a reason, and then some weeks I go, yeah, not everything happens for a reason. Sometimes someone just takes a loss and it doesn't mean anything.
Some folk can afford to take losses, and in the case of Neville, right, he's not holding any titles yet. At this point in time, he's got great reaction from the crowd every single match. He's loved by the fans. He's seemingly loved by the boys in the back as well. You know, nobody seems to have a bad word to say about him. His career is only but young. He's only been up there for a hiccup. You know, there's plenty of time for him to get titles, to get win after win after win. Let's not worry about one match at Survivor Series where it was really a token 5-on-5 match for the sake of having one. There was no storyline around it.
And let's look at it this way. At the end of this week, what are you going to remember more? The fact that Neville was eliminated in a 5-on-5 meaningless match?
No.
Or are you going to remember the fact that he went over Mark Henry?
Exactly.
And I think that really trumped the night before's loss, and that made up for it, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, for me as well, that's a very valid point. How can you say that it was an knock on him if he was going to get a win the very next night? It just doesn't compute, doesn't add up. So, just to kind of round off on that one, Kiwi, thank you for calling in. We know you miss being on, because we do love having you on the show, as you know, and hopefully we'll get you back on next week. But I think Neville's all right. I think there's plenty of time for him. Let's just continue to support him, cheer him on, our boy from Newcastle, and I'm sure it'll all come out right in the end. So we've got one more email to get into. Okay, so we've got one more email to go into, and it goes like this. Hi, I'm Kay Eberhardt from Dallas, Texas. I've been listening to your podcast for a short time and I really enjoy it. You guys are so freaking funny. Thank you. I enjoy British humour. I've enjoyed British comedies like The Young Ones and Monty Python's Flying Circus. I'm also a huge wrestling fan, have been since the 80s. I love The Undertaker, Kane, Sting, Sheamus, Abyss, Ambrose. Now, knowing WrestleMania 32 will be here in Dallas, I was wondering if any of you will be coming here to see the show. Look forward to hearing from you. Sincerely, a fan, Kay Eberhardt. So first of all, Kay, thank you for getting in touch. We really appreciate hearing from you. Glad you're enjoying the show. We love hearing from new faces. It's just a really good thing to have. So please keep continuing to listen on and stay sending in emails as well. It's really nice to hear from you. Kai.
Yes.
First thing I'm going to come to is she enjoys British humour, including British comedies like The Young Ones and Monty Python's Flying Circus. What a great person to have on board.
Exactly. That's brilliant. And let's look at it in the serious way here. It's not us two that she finds funny. It's probably Adam.
Adam, the cock, Kiwi, just anybody but us.
Anybody but you, Bob.
Anyone but Bob. We deal with the business end of things. We keep things going.
Yeah, we're the ones who are every week. I shouldn't really
we're
say
the spine
that
of the show.
There's people here every week anyway.
I know. We're the spine of the show, let's be honest. Just kidding,
so
guys. You know we're kidding.
All them lot are listening to this now going, the twat.
That's what you get for not coming on this week on the last hour second shift.
I know.
Anyway, she's a huge wrestling fan and fan of The Undertaker, Kane and Sting, and Abyss, four of those characters that she mentioned, all those kind of dark monster kind of eerie characters, which is quite interesting.
Maybe that's saying something about her personality.
And she also likes Sheamus and Ambrose, so
well, her Twitter account is, I don't know whether she gave it out, it's
she didn't know.
Should we give it out or not?
No, I think that's fine. I'm sure she'd appreciate a few extra followers on Twitter.
At Lady Undertaker, isn't it?
I think it was. I don't have it to hand. I'm just trying to point out.
if we're wrong, correct us next week.
Please do. Yeah, when you send in your next email in second next subsequent email. Yep, exactly. Now, on to your question.
Yeah.
Non WrestleMania 32 will be here in Dallas. Who will we be coming to see the show? Well, sadly, I have family responsibilities and things like that. It's just certainly not going to happen for me. I know, Kai, you've got financial responsibilities.
I'm a student who's only just moved out of a caravan. So, so I don't think I'm going to be making my way to Dallas anytime.
However, that said, Rocky Mountain High that was here last week, he's certainly heading down. He's got his very expensive seat all paid for. His hotel all booked. He's looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, is she going down, did she say?
Well, she lives in Dallas, so...
Well, get her in touch with all those guys on the allwrestling.com week in review.
Absolutely.
They're all meeting up. I'm sure she listens
what
to that.
What to do is hit up Rocky Mountain High on Twitter, at RMTNHigh.
Yep.
And he'll let you know what he's doing, what the plans are, and who else is maybe going from our community of guys.
There's quite a few guys from this community, from our shows and stuff, that are going to shows here in Britain, though, coming up. We've got
NXT London coming up.
NXT London. I know that Adam was going to go, but I don't think he's going anymore.
No, he's got work commitments now.
Who else is going? Wayne's going to that.
Yeah, I know that Derma's coming to Glasgow for the show here that they're doing.
Yeah. Are you going to the Glasgow show?
I've not got a ticket for it because I had so many things going on. So I didn't commit to buying a ticket at the time. I've got so many family birthdays all coming up in December. I don't know who's doing what, doing when, so I couldn't commit to it. If I can free myself up at the last minute, I'll see if there's any tickets flying about on Gumtree or something like that. Maybe see if I can get along that way.
I'd love to have gone to the one in Nottingham, but it's looking like it's around my deadlines and also the train situation as well, which isn't great. But yeah, I mean, we got there's the five-star wrestling friend of the show, Dan Hinkles. his shows are coming up in January.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, obviously there's a shows in Newcastle.
Grado's just been announced.
He has. Rockstar Spud was announced since the last time we chatted about it as well. Zack Sabre Jr.
I've still got to get my ticket for that. I'm hoping to get one in the next couple of weeks.
Hoping.
Aye.
Actually, Dan was supposed to get back to me today with any updates about it for this show, but I don't seem to have anything through, so... I'll just leave that there, I think, rather than trying to go digging for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, certainly the names we just mentioned have been added to that show, and it's certainly like it's going to be a great little mini tour that they're doing.
Definitely, yeah.
So yeah, keep working. And they've not announced the main event yet for Liverpool, I know that much. So we're waiting to find out what that's going to be. So
that should
crossed.
Be interesting then, yeah. Mm. So yeah, Lady Undertaker, we've got, I've forgotten her real name. What's her real name?
Kay.
Kay?
Yes.
right? We've got loads of events coming up over here that we're all hoping to get to, but unfortunately we can't really afford to get over to Dallas at the moment.
If I win the lottery between now and then I'll see what I can do.
Yeah.
I'll take old Timo as over.
Yeah, that would be, oh yeah, that would be brilliant. Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, thanks for emailing, and please email us again next week. And if anyone's got any feedback on any of these emails, hit us up on Twitter at SecondShiftPod or email us secondshiftpod@gmail.com. And that's all going to be changing, but we'll give you the new details on next week's show.
And now, the Supersonic Second Shift News!
Hello and welcome to this week's Supersonic Second Shift News. Cesaro has been added to the long list of injured superstars on the shelf. Let's hope he's not out too long and gets better soon. Curtis Axel has started a new cryptic video series, Where is Axel? Footage of the final video has been leaked online, and it's one of those look who's just entered the impact zone in the near future videos. HBK and Ric Flair will be appearing on the Steve Austin podcast on the WWE Network. This will be a pre-recorded segment. Even WWE's lawyers would struggle to defend a live Flair. ISIS threatened to attack the WWE Survivor Series pay-per-view this past Sunday, however refused to show up. They heard the rumours that John Cena was hidden backstage and was afraid of the inevitable job they would have to do. TNA is trying to sign some big names to their roster. Bill Goldberg is on the list. The jokes just write themselves. It's like TNA are stuck in the 90s. It's not ISIS they've got to worry about. It's the Irish. Blue Pants is back wrestling for NXT. Another great example of why you shouldn't believe every rumour you hear online. The WWE announcers, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, WWE, Crow, beep, boop, beep, hacking imminent, Solomon Crow fired by WWE, beep, boop, beep, boop, boop. Yeah, wonder why that character never worked out. WWE signs New Japan star La Sombra to a WWE contract. Expect his name to be changed to La Sombrero and have El Torito as a tag team partner before the year is out. And finally,
it's time for Dick of the Week!
I forgot about the soundbite. I'm sorry, Kiwi, but it goes to the one and only Mick Foley. Every time I go to a wrestling news site, there is an article there titled WWE Legend Says This About the WWE or some sort of wrestling in general. And it just seems like 99% of the time, the man behind the moans is Mrs. Foley's baby boy. Now, Mick, you like to give us constant blogging updates on the state of the WWE product, so allow me to address the state of Mick Foley. I was once a massive fan of yourself in and out of the ring. For a long time, you were my favourite wrestling author. Your books were awesome. But now, you just seem to be getting more jaded and bitter by the day. This week, your blog, Why I'm Quickly Becoming a Former WWE Fan, did not help this industry in the slightest. Now, I know the product isn't great right now, but how you are going about this is just ruining your reputation in my mind. But hey, this is just my opinion, and I'll give him a chance to find a way to make a difference rather than just moan online like a fat kid in his basement. And before anyone makes the jokes, mine was a caravan, not a basement. But for now, Mick Foley, you are a dick. And that's all for the final ever Supersonic Second Shift News.
Wow. Final Supersonic Second Shift News. What are we going to do?
No, I'm going to have to... So if anyone has a new name...
I told you what the new name's going to be.
What's it going to be?
The Not So Knockout News.
The Not So Knockout News. That works, yeah. We'll have to get a...
new soundbite.
Yeah, new soundbite.
Well, just raise your voice over at the start of it. Stuck a new one on. Done. Bob's your uncle. Done deal.
Yeah. It'll be like...
I'll get some sticky tape out and I'll get some prit stick and, you know, stick it all together.
It'll be like the old owners of DSJMP never existed, won't it, legend? You taking over.
The old what? The who? I said I noticed on the Rasslecast last week that Bio kept referring to DV as the former host of this show and wouldn't actually say his name.
No, we're proud of our, you know, where the show came from.
Absolutely.
Those guys started all this off and did a hell of a lot of work.
Hashtag remember your roots.
Exactly. And that's why we're not going back to episode one of the European Uppercut. It's
no, exactly.
Because that would be a waste of a year and a half or whatever it's been.
14 years, it's just we didn't manage to do a lot of episodes for a while. Anyway, let's chat about the news a little bit.
Yes.
Curtis Axel, I'm a bit concerned about old Curtis. He's since the whole Axel Mania stint that he did, it's not been very good for him, has it? He's had a few problems with gimmicks and getting over in terms of the brass in WWE.
Yeah.
What's it going to take?
He just seems a bit boring. And I mean, I know he took that Axel Mania thing and ran with it, but it was never going to go anywhere, was it, really?
And abusing fans on Twitter isn't going to help either.
Well, I haven't seen that. Oh, yeah, I did actually see something about that, yeah. I don't know. It's one of those things where you go...
Curtis,
would he be better somewhere else?
Maybe he needs to hit up the SCU.
Yes.
See if Finn Fish can sort him out with something.
Yeah.
Austin's podcast, we've got obviously Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair coming up. The Ric Flair one, do you know when these were recorded?
I'm not sure. They've kept it very on the down low.
I'm trying to work out if it was before or after the whole Ric Flair scenario, so I wonder if that's going to come up.
Probably going to be before it. They wouldn't... And also, after last week, they cut all references to it in the... I think they cut it on the pay-per-view. They probably cut it on the one-hour Raw as well.
Mm.
I don't think that they'd want to bring it up. But then again, you know, they brought up CM Punk on those podcasts, so anything could happen.
Absolutely. It'll be interesting to see. And obviously, these are both going to be interesting conversations. Look forward to them. Although, do you know, one thing I liked about the Stone Cold podcast that they have done is the live element. We didn't know what was going to come.
Yeah.
So there was less chance of over-censorship.
Yeah, I can see what you mean. It's kind of like, I'll give a bit of a British reference here. There's a show on Channel 4 over here called The Million Pound Drop Live.
Yeah.
I think they have The Million Dollar Drop in America. But The Million Pound Drop Live is obviously a show with, you know, it's a game show. Yeah. But the fact that it was live really helped you get invested, and all the questions were based on things that had been in the newspaper that day. And then they've done a series that wasn't live, and I just found it a bit boring, to be honest. Because
I didn't watch that.
Yeah, exactly.
I watched some of the live ones, but I've not seen one for probably a year and a half or so.
Exactly. They did a series late last year where it wasn't live, and it just takes that bit away from it.
Mm.
But you know what? I really enjoyed the JBL Legend stuff with, you know, he's done it with Austin, Triple H and Michaels, and then he's done it with Eric Bischoff as well.
Yeah.
All of them have been fantastic, so I'm sure I'm still going to enjoy them. It's just, we haven't...
Oh, no, I think they'd be good, but it's just, I don't know, there's just that, because of it being live, there's an intangibility.
There's an edge. There's an edge to it.
Absolutely. Anyway, but we'll see what comes out of it. I'm sure it's going to be pretty interesting anyway. Do you know when it's airing, actually? I'm trying to think if I noticed a date on it.
They didn't mention a date.
No, they didn't. They didn't.
They said this. I think they said this sort of month or December.
Mm, right, okay. I think it was
leading into the end of the year sort of stuff.
Okay. I'm not going to go into the whole ISIS scenario.
No.
That's not worth touching on. But Solomon Crowe sorry to see him go. I just feel that he's opted to leave. He's taken the option himself to flee. Is it a case of they wanted him to try something different? He wasn't willing to do it. That's my wee thought here, because his hacker gimmick didn't get over the way they wanted it to. And I think they were a bit reluctant to go on it full scale. And I think this is a part of the issue, because he should have been hacking into what was happening on Raw or SmackDown or other shows, and that never really happened. There was no real hacking into anything going on.
I've not been interested in Solomon Crowe since. I never saw any of his indie stuff.
Sami Callihan.
And I know he got a lot of fans through doing Sami Callihan on the independent circuit, but his stuff in NXT, it just didn't click with me. And it kind of shows that not every indie star can come in. I think I'm not going to say that this was my, you know, this is exactly my comment, because I did see someone on GroupMe say this. I think it might have been Wayne who said that it shows that not every indie star can come in and be a massive click over.
But then part of that is it's about your own mentality as well, and how you work with Triple H and the other coaching staff and the performance center.
He could have been a twat behind the scene for all we know.
He could have been resistant to change, you know, because he's got a very defined look and character. You know, he looks a bit different, an oversized Oompa Loompa, some would say. but no, he's a very distinct look, and, you know, maybe they wanted to change what he was like and give him a gimmick that he wasn't all sold on, and he's taken the option just to go elsewhere and be Sami Callihan again.
I think it's probably it was probably a bit like, who was the other guy that used to come out and picket with the picket signs, the placard?
CJ Parker.
CJ Parker. He kind of did a bit of a run in NXT and went, yeah, he was there a bit longer, but he kind of went, I'm not clicking here. And he knows
he's
what's
Japan.
Best. Yeah. Good luck to Solomon Crowe, Sami Callihan. I hope that you go out onto the indies and you make a hell of a lot of money off the fact that you've been referenced with NXT for a little while. But
yeah, it certainly should. You know, his stock should certainly be up in value. So
yeah,
fingers crossed for him. And you know, you never know. He may come back one day down the line.
The door's normally always open, as long as, you know, you don't do anything. I stay off the Chris Benoit jokes. I was in my head and I was like, that sounds like... I had something in my head and I went, that sounds like something Adam would say. I'll probably leave it.
I was tweeting Adam earlier on today, and he gave me a line that he says I can use in the show, but it's not in my character to use such a line, so we should just leave that there.
Fair enough. I want to know what this is now.
I'll tell you after the show. last one I just want to touch on, La Sombra. Obviously just come from New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yes.
Looking like it could be another strong, fun to watch Mexican talent.
Yeah, let's see how he does. Let's see how he clicks with WWE's style, and let's hopefully have a great staff in the future. There, I've heard little bits about him since he's been signed. You know, done a bit of research on him. He lost his mask a couple of a year or so ago. So people are very, you know, shocked to see him without the mask, because there were some people who went, I can't believe WWE took the mask off him, but they don't. Apparently he lost it in Japan.
But then that doesn't stop them. Rey Mysterio lost his mask in WCW.
Yeah, and when Rey Mysterio came into WWE, he was expecting to come in without the mask.
Yeah, and but mask it was, we'll because see. We'll see that's happens. Where the money's at.
You never know, they might just stick the Sin Cara mask on him. Oh, get rid of Hunico.
Oh, God, no. Don't even tempt him. Don't give him the idea.
You know it's going to happen. You know it's going to happen.
Right, that's enough of that. Thank you for those little news stories. And you know, some interesting news stories here this week. And I got a feeling the stories are going to dry up a bit over the next couple of weeks before we get into the new year, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
You never know. Let's get into Survivor Series. It happened Sunday night there from Atlanta, Georgia. And including the pre-show, 9 matches on the card.
Yeah, and like I said, I enjoyed the show, to be honest.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good overall. Greatest pay-per-view of the year? No, but a certainly a fun watch, some really enjoyable matches, as you said earlier yourself. A couple, yeah, not so much, but generally across the board, fun matches to watch. So let's just go straight into it, and we're going to chat about the pre-show match first, and I got my matches switched back to front earlier on. It was a pre-show match with Neville in it, so let's start there. So you've got returning Goldust with the Dudley Boys, Neville and Titus O'Neil, no sign of Darren Young peculiarly, against the Cosmic Wasteland of Stardust, Conan and Victor, The Miz and Bo Dallas in a 5-on-5 traditional Survivor Series elimination tag team match. Breathe! did you watch the pre-show? You did.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I watched it live. I enjoyed it. I wasn't expecting a match on the pre-show because they didn't mention it until they were literally coming out.
Well, let's be honest. We were all chatting on GroupMe. A few was chatting on GroupMe at the time because I watched it live as well. And you know, folk were asking back and forth, "Is it a match?" And I was like, "No." As far as I'm aware. Then I heard them calling out the commentator 20 minutes in. It's like, "Well, I think there might be a match. They're bringing out the commentary team."
Yeah, but they literally did not mention it until...
No, until it was literally time for the match to start. So it was a bit of a, here, catch.
Yeah, and we got a return in there.
Yeah, returning Goldust, which there was rumours he was going to be coming back, but, you know, I don't think anybody really expects him to appear on this pay-per-view. Great to see him back.
Yeah, definitely.
We like a bit of Goldust.
Yeah. I mean, people were touching on the fact that Titus O'Neil was in this match, and that's a bit strange. And there was rumours going around that Darren Young's having some personal issues because he posted something on Twitter, but, you know, he was back on Raw, so...
Yeah, exactly.
But I think the thing about this is, and I said this to you, and then I said this to you on a text message, and then it came up... And then it came up on a news website. So either you're feeding them stories, or it's a high coincidence here that I just got a lucky prediction. It sounds like that it's rumoured that the reason why Titus O'Neil was in it is because this was meant to be Cesaro's position on the card, which would make sense because he's been having a couple of bits with Stardust and things.
Yeah.
And obviously Cesaro's down with an injury now.
It was. I mean, as far as I can see, it was 100% supposed to be Cesaro's place, which made me surprised they didn't pull out a Mark Henry or someone like that who is being utilised more as a utility player.
Yeah, but...
And I was starting to get worried again for Darren Young on Raw when we had the little backstage promo with Stardust, but only Titus came out for that.
Yeah. they kind of like... He seems very popular backstage, does Titus O'Neil.
Does, yeah.
And I don't blame them for being, for liking him because he seems like a top-quality guy and it's helping him in his career. Whereas... Darren Young seems more of a twat.
That's a bit unfair.
But it's good to see, you know, I'm not a big fan of Titus O'Neil in the ring or even as a character, but...
I think he's utilisable. I think he does a job. I don't see him being world champion material anytime soon.
No, he's a good utility player in this situation.
And just for me, in terms of the match overall, I mean, this was a pre-show match. So going back to what Kiwi was saying earlier on as well, you know, let's not get hung up too much about Neville being the only one pinned from that team because it was only a pre-show match after all anyway, and not everybody watches it. So you know, exactly. Nothing to be worried about in terms of Neville. He's pretty sound. He's going to do good. And I thought it was quite an entertaining match for what it was.
Yeah, it's a pre-show match. It's better than when we were getting Wade Barrett versus R-Truth 6 months ago.
And it is a pity that Cesaro had to quit injured, but, you know, as I've already said a few times, it's the way it is. They're having to adjust on the fly, and good on them for trying to keep things going as best they can.
Yep.
So let's get to the main show, and we have first up Roman Reigns versus Alberto Del Rio in the World Heavyweight Championship Tournament semi-final. Obviously, Zeb Coulter at ringside for that. What do you think of the match?
I enjoyed this match, which is something that I didn't think I was going to particularly because I, you know, I'm not the biggest Roman Reigns fan, and I'm not the biggest Alberto Del Rio fan, but I thought these two put on a very, very good match. It didn't top Roman Reigns versus Cesaro from the week before, but
that was a high level to try and achieve, so.
But it was a very, very good match, I believed, and I thought it was a great way to kick off the pay-per-view.
And the thing for me is, I mean, Roman Reigns has certainly developed and grown an awful lot in the ring over the last year, but Alberto Del Rio, for me, works better with some guys than others. And for me, Roman Reigns is one of these guys that he's maybe not going to work as well with, but I think if they put in a good effort, it was a good, certainly entertaining 14-minute match. Not the best match in the card, but I quite enjoyed it, and we knew where it was going. So, you know, no issues to talk about that. Let's jump into the second semi-final match, Dean Ambrose, Kevin Owens. Your thoughts overall?
Once again, something that I enjoyed. I was getting a little bit groggy at this point because I was watching live, I will admit. I was getting a little bit tired, but I did go back and watch it again, and I did enjoy the match. A great match. These two are the sort of people that can't have... You're never going to walk away from a match with these two and go, that was awful.
But yeah, there are people who have kind of not slagged off the match, but they've said, oh, it wasn't as good as I expected. That was a bit disappointing.
Well, that's people raising the... You know, it's all right to raise your expectations. I guess I didn't. I went into this pay-per-view with quite low expectations.
I think I did as well, actually.
So I think that helped me personally. Yeah. Like I say, everyone else, each to your own. But I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was actually a really fun match. I enjoyed it slightly more than I did the Reigns Del Rio match. So that says something in itself. But that's us now set up for the final with Dean Ambrose versus Roman Reigns, former Shield member against former Shield member. We'll come back to that a bit further down the card.
With predictions?
Well, I was about to come to the predictions. I've got them here in front of me. Let's start off. I'm not going to go into the Survivor Series elimination match from the pre-show because we only kind of guessed there was going to be one of these matches. We had no idea who was going to be.
Team face versus team heel.
Yeah, I'm going to use that for the main show match rather than the pre-show match.
Yeah.
So we'll come back to that. Let's start with Reigns and Del Rio first. Everybody said Reigns, so no surprise there.
Yes.
And then Dean Ambrose versus Kevin Owens. This is where it was a bit more interesting. I said Owens. Adam said a draw leading to a triple threat match.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Wayne said Owens. Ant said Owens was going to win by dirty tactics. RMH and the Cock said Owens, which only leaves you, Kiwi, and Walker saying Ambrose. And it's quite interesting, though, because the majority of people were saying Ambrose, and yet out of all those names, only three people chose him.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it was, you know, I'm not... It's very difficult to talk about your own predictions after they've happened when they come back as true. But to me, it did seem like the obvious answer. And I guess I went with the predictable answer, whereas you guys took the risk and went unpredictable.
For me, I put it to what I thought was going to be the better final match. And I wasn't seeing a heel turn coming from Ambrose or Reigns, really. I said from the start what I thought was going to happen in terms of Reigns winning the title, losing it in a cash-in from Sheamus. So for me, it would have been better to have a more entertaining, hard-hitting match against Owens before Sheamus came into the ring.
Whereas the way it looked for me was that if it was Reigns versus Ambrose in the final, that made it more unpredictable because I didn't see Kevin Owens winning the title and, you know, at the same time as the Intercontinental title. And I thought that it was more predictable. It was less predictable if it was Ambrose because then it opens up the question for these heel turns here and there. As well as the famous cash-in.
And there's a little bit there of, you know, if that was the case, should Owens have been in the semi-finals when he's holding that title? But that's, you know, that's a by-the-by. It's not important. It's just a little detail.
Yeah.
Let's get into the 5-on-5 match that we did get. We had Ryback and the Usos with the Lucha Dragons, who won against the New Day with Sheamus and Barrett. New Day, Sheamus and Barrett. I knew I had to be in here somewhere. I didn't know where they were going to fare on the card. I didn't think we were going to see Sheamus until the cash-in because they've been playing down his briefcase over the last while for so long.
Yeah.
So I didn't think we'd see him until the end of the show. So I didn't really figure on being in this match. So yeah, I was quite happy with the lineup on the match. You and I simply chatted about where the Usos were going to figure in, and we had the Ryback and the New Day with them in a match somewhere.
Lucha Dragons, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, that match didn't surprise us. And so the predictions, we all kind of went team face. Adam said Team New Day.
Yeah.
So I said Team Heel, just because I was figuring it was going to be a lot of face wins on the card. And it was Team Face that won. So all of you guys won. Adam made a mistake by agreeing with me.
Yeah. And I tell you what.
Yeah.
I went with Team Face because I felt that this was a good opportunity for a face team to go over the New Day, who are hot like hell right now.
They are.
Without them having to lose the championship.
Yeah.
And they didn't do that. They had the New Day sneak. They had Big E go down, but the other two fucked off with him and didn't get pinned. Now, the way I look at that is I kind of go, that's showing that it's either really bad booking because they had the opportunity for them to lose without losing the championships, or they're actually going, we really don't want the New Day to lose those titles right now. And that you see where I'm going there? They're so hot on the New Day right now that they didn't even want them to lose in a non-title match.
Actually, I was just thinking there, based on what you were just saying, when I was watching the match, actually, I actually thought we were going to get a clean tag team winning as the sole survivors.
Yeah.
Not the fact that we got Ryback, one Uso, one Dragon. Which was a bit of a strange combination.
What it seems like they're building up to is a TLC match at TLC between the Lucha Dragons, the New Day, and the Usos, which seems very strange that the Dudleys are being left out of that, and I don't know what the fan backlash is going to be there.
I just think that we shouldn't count our chickens a little bit yet on that. I think there's going to be a bit more interaction because, obviously, what's to stop the Dudleys bullying their way into that match? Because I've said before that I think for them to get those tag team titles, they're going to have to turn a bit heel. So,
yeah, part of me's going that they're going to be involved in that match, but then part of me's looking back an interview between with Bully Ray a couple of days ago, which said that where he was like, "Yeah, I want if I was to do a TLC match, I'd want to do it right." And yeah. I could see that being more of a WrestleMania, maybe. But it seems weird that they put them on the TLC pay-per-view and not have them on the TLC match.
I mean, the thing is, they've already got one TLC match announced. And generally, what they've done in the past is they've had one TLC match, one tables, one ladders, and one chair.
Yeah, but it seems the perfect year. But, you know, going back to this Survivor Series match, they had, like I was saying, they had one of every team at least survive. They had one of every team lose, and then one of every team survive it.
Are you saying New Day technically survived because they walked out?
Well, yeah, they did, didn't they? They did. Two of them were never pinned, whereas one of them was pinned. So it sort of gives that equality of each team.
And Curtis Axel still in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I was surprised they didn't do anything like that on Raw. But, you know, the New Day segment on Raw was brilliant in its own right.
Yeah, it was. And I'll come to that right at the end of this conversation. Much more chat a little bit more about that. But let's move on because that was, you know, it was a fun match, but it wasn't really the guts of the show. Let's get into one of the matches that most people were looking forward to: Charlotte and Paige for the Divas Championship. After what we've seen on Raw the week before, it certainly had things amped up a bit, shall we say. How did you feel it played out?
I enjoyed the match. I thought it was a good, stellar match. You can really see the intensity that they're putting into this.
Yeah.
And the fact that the feud went down as it did, even if they're ignoring what they said now, it's still like, I'm really, really enjoying it. And I think that it was a good match, and could Paige have taken it? That would have extended the feud, maybe, but I'm still enjoying it, and it looks like it's going to go to something like a Sasha Banks, Paige, Charlotte triple threat match, which is only good for business, in my opinion.
Well, let's have a look at the predictions a minute here. 8 people said Charlotte, only Ant said Paige, so
yeah,
the gut feeling was Charlotte was going to hold on to that.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe I said Charlotte's going to win it, but I want Paige.
But obviously we get a little bit of play on Raw that Paige isn't happy that Charlotte cheated in her mind because her hand was under the ropes.
Oh, yeah. I didn't notice that during the actual pay-per-view. I'm going to be quite honest.
I didn't notice it, but I just ignored it. I just thought, she's not saying anything about it. So maybe it was just an accident. I just ignored it.
Yeah.
So I just didn't think anything of it. And then straight away on Raw, there she is, coming in and telling everybody, that there's an issue here and she wants a rematch.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that'll play out quite interestingly over the coming weeks. We'll be looking forward to that. Now, let's go to the second shortest match on the card. Tyler Breeze with Summer Rae against Dolph Ziggler. And before we chat about the match, let's just have a look at the predictions. Kiwi was the only one to say Ziggler was going to win. Sorry, Kiwi. Wasn't happening. Tyler Breeze, he's on the build, obviously. He needed to win at this stage in the game just to help establish himself, and especially with the arm candy he has in the shape of Summer Rae to help weigh things on his side. I didn't see Ziggler winning, especially with the run he's been having of late. I'm quite curious as to what the future holds for Ziggler. I think there has to be a little bit of a change and a development.
I've been under the sort of impression that Ziggler can bounce back from losses. He's the sort of guy that can take a loss. Mm-hmm. But then, I've kind of been saying, yeah, I would like Ziggler to get a bigger role and higher up the card. But it seems like from some of his tweets and messages and talks in interviews that he seems to be sort of losing that passion and will to carry on. It was only this past week that someone tweeted him and said, when do you plan to retire? And he says, I'm going to be gone in 2 to 3 years. I'll be finished. And they said, where will you be in? They said something like, where do you plan to be in 2 years' time? And he said, working full time in LA.
And the thing is, going to the match itself here, Ziggler did what Ziggler does, and he made Tyler Breeze look $1 million in that ring.
Yes, definitely.
He put in a great performance for himself and selling, as always, for his opponent. He does a fantastic job, and I think, for the fact that he's only had 2 world title reigns, that between them added up to about 3.5 minutes and change.
Ziggler is a great... He's great at what he does.
And, yeah, he deserves more, though.
People think that he deserves more. Some people think he doesn't. When it comes to him, though, he's going to go down in history as a great in-ring worker and a great player in this industry.
So I'm going to ask a question then, right? Does he, somewhere down the line, years from now, get himself a Hall of Fame place?
Definitely. Yes.
So therefore, you can't say that anything he's done's not been worthwhile. If he's got that in his future somewhere down the line, it's all gravy.
Yeah, I think that he's the sort of guy that will get a Hall of Fame induction down the line. I don't know when, but I think he will do, because he's been here years now and he's been putting in that work. And
absolutely.
As long as he's not made any enemies backstage, and I hate to go back to the whole politicking behind the scenes sort of stuff, you don't hear massive things. He's not like Lana at the moment, is he? she seems to be getting mega heat backstage from unconfirmed reports, I will say.
Yeah, I mean, let's not go into that just now. There's something we can have a chat about another time. But let's get back to the card. Let's get on to another big match that they had. Brothers of Destruction versus the Wyatt family. In this case, Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper. Now, I was under the impression it was going to be Braun Strowman, but I'm quite happy to see Luke Harper because he is a great talent. So
yeah, and let's have a look at it. Luke Harper can do all the in-ring work. Braun Strowman did his job by
going for a table.
Big man on the outside looking really intimidating and finally being put through the table, which he did the job well.
And let's just jump to the start of this match a little minute here. A really great entrance from the Taker.
Oh yeah, fantastic. Fantastic. That Undertaker's entrances have always been very eerie and intimidating and spine tingling, and that whole image at the back where it was.
It was really a Ministry of Darkness entrance, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And it was just, I liked it that they put on the one of the photos that came. It was showing all these pictures of the dead man. I'm thinking, are they going to show American Badass Undertaker?
They did. Yeah, they did.
And they did. And I'm glad that they did, because that's obviously a big part of the Undertaker's evolution.
Quite funny, because the way they did those, it was on that thin strip of screen. It would have been quite easy to miss those.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet it looked amazing in the arena.
But it was a lovely detail, especially when the whole point is we're celebrating 25 years of his career.
And you know what? If Undertaker couldn't have wrestled tonight, it would have been worth it for him to just come out and do the entrance and, you know, do a 5-minute walk down, walk to the ring, do the bow thing on his knee, and then go back. I think that in 5 years' time, at his 30th anniversary of Survivor Series, even if he's too old to wrestle, that would be a worthwhile thing to happen. Because if you've never, there'll be fans in that arena tonight that have been fans all their lives and have never got to see The Undertaker live. I'm lucky that I've been able to see The Undertaker live. I've only been to 2 WWE events, but that was 9 years ago when I got to see him live. And I think now I'd appreciate it more than I did then. But I was a kid then, and it was just amazing. Mm. That was the highlight, seeing The Undertaker do his entrance. And I was lucky enough to see him actually sort of half-break character, which you find out later. I found out later in life that that's a very, very,
very rare
thing.
Yeah. So what did you think of the match itself then?
Enjoyed it. Yeah. We weren't going to get Michaels versus Undertaker WrestleMania 25,
no.
Were we?
Not at all.
It was a tag team match. It was Luke Harper's a brilliant in-ring athlete.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt is a fantastic character. And the Brothers of Destruction are just, I've been saying this all year when Kane's been doing his, I've been going to bat for Kane this year. And I know I've got my little catchphrase that someone seemed to have picked up on. But I've been going to bat for Kane this year. And I've been saying that when it gets down to that moment that he is, that he puts back on that mask and he stands by his brother, that's going to be a big moment and everything's going to be forgotten. And that's exactly how it is. We don't care that he was being a shit general manager a couple of months
this
ago.
This is the thing. Is I just think that they dragged that out for too long. You know, he's had the mask off for how many of the last 6 years or something?
Yeah, but that none of that mattered because now he's got the mask on. And who cares about what he's been doing?
He's so much more interesting the way he is now. And I just want, you know, he is at the later stages of his career, so I'd rather, you know, that we don't take the bloody mask off again.
I think it will be the end of, they are hinting that this is going to be the end of the Undertaker and Kane's line.
Well, they're certainly hinting at the Undertaker, but they're a bit ambiguous about Kane. But logically, my brain says that, you know, his day must be getting pretty close as well, because how many years is it since he debuted as Isaac Yankum? So
yeah, I mean, it was 97 that he came in as the brother of Undertaker,
and in between that, he'd been Fake Diesel.
Yeah. So you see,
I remember that vividly, honestly, when it
Well,
happened.
I don't, because I'm not going to make you feel old by saying what year it was and how old I was at the time. But let's look at it this way. When Kane debuted as Kane and came down to that Hell
in a
Cell,
you were one. I
was one.
Anyway, but I quite enjoyed the match. Well, I thought it was a very serviceable match, very well played out match. The psychology kicked in quite a bit during it, especially the 4-on-2 aspect of it. Eric Rowan taking out things a bit quickly, though, surprised me.
Yes. Sorry, I went off mute there. My first time fucking up. Eric Rowan taking out quickly. It was it was a good way for them to sort of even it up a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know, it just seemed a bit odd the way that went. That just happened too easily that he was taking it. But anyway, that's by the by.
The Brothers of Destruction, they could beat, you know...
Hey, let's set it up. The Brothers of Destruction versus the Brothers of Discussion will get Kiwi and Connell to face them next.
Yeah, that's the triple threat tag team match I want to see. I want to see the Brothers of Destruction, the acronyms of Destruction, and Kiwi and
the
Connell.
Brothers of Discussion.
Yes.
Ah, brilliant. Okay, let's go into the heavyweight championship match. Roman Reigns against Dean Ambrose, and there's been a fair bit of build up to it, and some folk felt that Dean Ambrose did kind of hint that he could turn heel during his promo early in the night, but to me it was just playing the game a little bit.
Yeah.
And I knew what I expected, whether it was going to be right or wrong. I was quite happy if Dean Ambrose won that title. I'd have been more than happy for that to happen, but as it happened, Roman's lifted the title at the end of the night to celebrate his win, and
as soon as that, I mean, I'd been spoiled by the WWE Network, not by my own doing. I was spoiled by the WWE Network once again by going on the app.
Oh, right, you weren't the only one. Somebody else was complaining about. Somebody was complaining they got a notification from WWE which spoiled it for them.
Oh, I stopped the WWE notification. I used to get the text messages. and they spoilt me. I only lasted 1 month with them because they spoilt me.
But I got spoilt once, that was enough.
The WWE app needs to sort this out. They need a separate entity or a separate home screen for the app so that we don't get spoilt.
Because I've had this conversation before, I agree.
Because I was going to cover it. I forgot to cover it up for the first time in months. And I went on and I just saw a picture of Sheamus. And I quickly covered my eyes, but I could just tell that, why would they be interviewing Sheamus on the app?
Yeah.
It spoiled it for me, but
We'll come back to Sheamus in a little minute. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was a quite a cleverly played out match. It certainly was believable that either one could have won any time.
Yes. It was a very quick match.
9 minutes, 2 seconds, apparently.
Yeah, I'd have thought when... Because they kind of dragged out the ending as well. When the match ended and there was 22 minutes left of the pay-per-view, you kind of go, something's going down here. Either Roman Reigns is going to have a big celebration that's going to last for 22 minutes. I mean, Sheamus' celebration lasted about 9 or 10 minutes after he won. And they just kept replaying it. So I
suppose the thing is, if you're watching it live, you don't know how long it's got to go.
But you do.
You have an indication because they tend to go 250 every show. Yes, of course.
That's what shocked myself and Tom Wayne at WrestleMania was the fact that we were really thinking, we went into that Mania main event and all three of us were going, there's going to be a cash-in or a cash-in attempt. And it got down to about 3 or 4 minutes left of the pay-per-view and there'd been no sign of a cash-in. And we were all like, oh, well, there mustn't be a cash-in then. And then it suddenly came in the final 2 minutes and it was very, very quick how that was done. So that's how you do a cash-in, right? Not 20 minutes before the end of the pay-per-view. But cash-ins are always good to see. As soon as we saw the confetti come down, that there's going to be a cash-in.
And this takes us into the fact that should they have had confetti, whether there was a cash-in or not, to celebrate the crowning of a new champion, which was guaranteed, but by kayfabe bogus reasons, it was pretty much guaranteed. So maybe, they should have had all
that's
that.
That's why they had the confetti there, because they knew that, let's look at it in an unkayfabe way.
Yeah.
If you're looking at it like a real competition... Yeah. The people in the back knew, the authority knew that there was going to be a new...
Let's say it's England versus Germany in the World Cup final.
Yeah.
So to speak, when that match concludes, do you want to have confetti for the celebration? Yes, you do.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with the confetti. I think we're making too much of a big deal out of it.
So I don't think that's really the issue here. I think the issue is more that it was already in folks' minds because... It had been chatted about on this podcast. Other folk had said it on other podcasts after it. After I said it, I heard there were so many other people saying it. I was like, oh,
Yeah.
When it comes to the confetti side of things,
yes,
they've had matches that have finished in the past on pay-per-views when it's been 20 minutes to go before Money in the Bank briefcases existed, and they've had celebrations the whole way. It was purely our own expectation that this could be coming that made it so obvious. Not so much that they preempted it by having the confetti or having so much time left on the slot. We were already aware that it could be a possibility, so that's what made it so obvious. And sometimes obvious is good if it's a means to an end that's got a good possible conclusion further down the line. And I believe this does have. I think there's still plenty to be gained from Sheamus in this position aligned with authority. And over the next few months...
And it makes Roman a former champion as well.
So straight away he's got, you know, I'm a former heavyweight champion. He's got that to his belt. Tick. Yeah.
And it's one of those things where, like I said earlier in the show, Sheamus has got the chance now. He's been given a month and a half to either keep, or at least to Royal Rumble, to keep running with it and become a great champion that everyone wants to see and the ratings go up, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Or he's going to drop it and we'll just start again coming into Mania season. I can't see a problem there, to be honest. But I'm trying to think positively.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's plenty to be gained from this going forward. As long as we just let things, you know, build a little bit. Let's get a bit of, you know, back and forth between Reigns and Sheamus and whoever else they want to throw into that mixture. Obviously, we've talked about Rusev and Barrett already. And obviously, Ambrose will be involved in that at some level or another. Who knows who else. Just going to go back because we've not done the picks or the revelation of who picked who for the Taker Kane match. Everybody except Ant and Adam said the Brothers of Destruction. So well done to all of us, and just sorry about your damn luck, Adam and Ant. And then when it comes to this last match, when it comes to this last match, everybody said Reigns was going to win. So, again, no surprise there. Although Adam did say a guaranteed heel turn, Walker said a heel turn, and Ant said help from Ambrose because of Owens doing the dirty tactics earlier. Those guys were all wrong.
Yeah, but they just added a bit extra in.
Yeah, of course they did. They made it a bit more interesting, and we were all right across the board anyway, but so no surprise, really. I certainly said the cash-in was coming, and a couple of other folk as well said, but for whatever reason, I've not noted that down.
Yeah. I mean, the predictions on this show, let's break the fourth wall of it, the predictions on this show are a bit like the points on Mock the Week. They mean fuck all.
They do. We don't even keep account of them or really track them in any which way, unlike on the WrestleCast.
I don't think we've ever turned round at the end of the show and even said who got the most points for the pay-per-view.
Well, we have a couple of things because Wayne's very good at getting a lot right. So yeah, let's quickly just check his track record. Is right, wrong, right. So Wayne only got one wrong.
So, I don't think I did too bad on that one either. So, but like you say, it doesn't really
I got matter. Two wrong. Now, there was a conversation we had. Is do we expect any surprises? And on the cards where I said Balor, Adam said Angle, you said Daniel Bryan, Kiwi said Balor. Rocky Mountain High said Samoa Joe or jokingly Ronda Rousey, and Cox said Balor or Bryan.
And nobody said
Goldust. Nobody said Goldust. Oh well, that's shattered dreams for us then. See what I did there, exactly.
Is that the gong? Is that worth? that's not worthy of a gong.
No, that's not worthy of a gong at all. We keep those especially for Adam. Anyway, I thought it was an all right pay-per-view overall. 7.5 out of 10, probably 7.5, I'd say. And I think there's a lot to be looking forward to in the new year. Let's use TLC as part of that pivotal transition phase and not expect too much, and hopefully they'll surprise us with a good one there.
You're listening to The Second Shift, the best podcast in the world. Grado's favourite, everybody's favourite, it's yourself.
You had to get that in at the end, didn't you?
It's the last time we're going to have to use it.
Oh, you're going to have to go meet him again. I'm sure he'll record you another one.
I'm hoping to be able to sort something better out if I can, but I'm not going to jump the gun on anything before I've had a chance to discuss it properly. Let's just get into final thoughts for this week. What have you got to bring up for us, Kai?
Final thoughts on the final second shift,
and you've got nothing.
Well, I tell you what, I have. I don't want to sound like I'm promoting them loads, but I am going to a wrestling event over the weekend.
Woo!
Sunday, I'm going to Lincoln Fight Factory's Legend Show, which is headlined.
Wait! A Legend Show without me?
Well, it's headlined by Joe E. Legend. Also known as Just Joe on...
Right now, a lot of folk are going, who?
Just Joe on WWF Heat. But he's been, you know, he seems to have been everywhere. He didn't get very far in WWE, but he seems to have been on TNA, ECW, New Japan. You know, he's been travelling the world and he's been good enough to come down for the Lincoln Fight Factory Wrestling Show. So I'm looking forward to going there. I've got a ticket waiting for me on the door, which is always very nice. So that I'm really looking forward to hanging out with a couple of the guys that gave me a lift home from the Nottingham show, going along with them too, and looking forward to having a good afternoon out watching some wrestling with some good wrestling fans. Yeah.
Now, you may or may not be on the show next week, so if you are, I'm looking forward to hearing about that. If not, I'm really
hoping to be on next week. I you know, break down the fourth wall again.
Don't set yourself up for a fall.
Well, Thursday I've got a performance, a Shakespeare performance here in Lincoln, but I've got a feeling that I'm going to be able to get off Wednesday night as long as I work hard Monday, Tuesday. So, touch wood, I'm going to be there.
So good stuff. I hope you enjoy the show anyway and look forward to hearing about it later on.
Now, what about your final thoughts? I believe it's something to do with Raw this week.
Just a very quick thing, yes. And it cuts back to the clip point at the start of the show. I found it very interesting that a talent on Raw would refer to his character on Raw, unlike, you know, it's expected on Table for Free or on Legends or whatever. But actually saying that on Raw was, I thought, for me, a bit of a...
That really made me laugh. I thought that was brilliant.
It was an eyebrow raiser.
It was one of those moments where you kind of, by the tone in his voice, because he didn't really, he didn't push it, he just sort of said it once and left it there. It kind of sounded very off the cuff, which a lot of this New Day stuff seems to be. Whether it's, I tell you what, if it's not off the cuff, some of the stuff that they say, then that's, you know, that's brilliant that they're able to make it seem like it is. But it's good to see Kofi getting some of his personality across.
Yeah, and it's an interesting heel tactic to break kayfabe. So he's playing heel to Vince.
But it wasn't a big moment where it wasn't the sort of let's sit down on the stage and talk about Vince McMahon and backstage politics and
who could you be talking about?
Talk about the fourth wall and it wasn't that. It was a little quip in there for us sort of fans.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
For us. And that's what I like. I like that we've been desensitized so much to kayfabe that when a little bit of a quip comes in like that, it's so much better.
Yeah. And just to say that, I thought the unicorns were hilarious.
Yeah, New Day, everything New Day touch is just turning to gold.
Bright pink hobby horse unicorns.
I'm so glad that they, stuck with it at the beginning, because at the beginning it was just looking like it was destined for failure. And we all kind of said that once they get a chance to really go at it, and like they said on Table for Three, that once they get a chance to do what they wanted to do and to be themselves, then they're really... you can tell that they're enjoying it, which makes us enjoy it. Maybe that's kind of why I'm not getting into Dolph Ziggler at the moment, because he's maybe not enjoying himself too much. That's just on my own. I've been making a lot of statements that I can't really back up this week. but it's there and it's in the back of my mind that if someone maybe might not be enjoying themselves too much, you're not going to enjoy them.
Yeah, absolutely. If they enjoy it, we certainly do enjoy it more. And, you can see 100% that the New Day are enjoying everything they're doing. We're enjoying it. And how often can you say you're enjoying, in that sense, what a heel team or a heel of any kind does? So, yeah, it's really an interesting way they've got that vibe they've got going. It's really fun. And I look forward to whatever they've got in store for us next, because every week they just manage to pull something new out the bag, and it's really good stuff. Anyway, time to start rounding up for this week. Tell the people where they can find you, Kai, and say your goodbye.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at HWIR. That's at HAITCHWIR. I've realised that I have to spell it out now because people like Rocky Mountain High and Kiwi come on the show and spell it out every week, and they probably get more followers out of it. So that's what I'm going to do. You can also find my radio show, Squabblebox, 10 a.m. on Monday mornings, 107.3 Siren FM here in the Lincolnshire area. Or you can find us online, www.sirenonline.co.uk. But like I say, if you're interested in that, send me a message on Twitter and we'll get talking about it. And I'll show you how to find it. But yeah, check out the allwrestling.com week in review as well. We'll give them a plug because Dan does a fantastic job over there, and you can find myself and yourself, Legend, yep, on there every week
except this week.
Leaving except this week because they're on Thanksgiving break because they have their Christmas dinners early in America.
Crazy fools. I thought we still get Black Friday even though we don't have a Thanksgiving.
Amazon are having Black Friday week. I had an email saying, here's the deals for Black Friday, week. And I'm going, what?
But I'm looking at buying a new telly, so I'll be taking advantage of whatever deals I can find.
Yeah, and I need a new microphone as well. So.
Anyway, I'm the Living Legend, obviously. You can find me on Twitter at LivingLegend148. And if you can't spell that, go to bloody school.
Oh, wow.
And obviously, you can find me here every week. And also, as Kai said, on the allwrestling.com week in review. No idea who we're going to have in the show next week. Looking forward to whoever it may be and some more fun chat down the line there as well. Please check out the latest episode of 10 to 1 with Kai, myself, and our guest, Kiwi Tuts.
Yep. And don't forget that we're a different name next week.
I'll come to that in a minute.
Oh, sorry.
Stop reading my lines. Please check out the latest episode of 10 to 1 on the DSJMP network with Kai, myself, and our guest, Kiwi Tuts. Also, the Razzlecast, the Tuts Experience. And if you haven't already listened, the special 1 hour, one topic entitled How Far Is Too Far. And also for football fans, there's Fantasy Footy. Do also check out the plethora of content on the Trending Topics Network, including the Spanish Nouns Table, Anything Goes, The Tim and Tom Show, Tech Talk, NFL Easy Picks, and so much more. As always, you can email ourselves at secondshiftpod@gmail.com or drop us a tweet to @secondshiftpod. But that's all from us. I'm running out of breath, energy, and weakness.
Let's go get some kip.
We'll catch you next week. The Living Legend has now left the building.